Hey gang, before we get the episode started, this is Chris from All Consumed. Just want to say Neil swallowed a frog or something and has been trying to cough it up a little bit here and there. So there might be some odd pauses.
My apologies.
And maybe some muffled gasping for dear life.
Still alive. I am alive.
Aside from that, I think you've had some really good recommendations for both of us this episode. Thank you. Welcome back to All Consumed, a podcast by Chris Osborne and
Neil Davey
about mostly food, but just stuff we really enjoy consuming. Yes, and yes. We have just enjoyed consuming a very nice, I guess you call it brunch, a very early lunch on a Saturday at May's Tacos and Pozole.
Yeah, down in Peckham.
Peckham Rye.
Yeah.
And that was amazing.
It was really good.
What did you think?
It was terrific. A lot of fun. So I don't come down this way very often. Again, as I said, I think the last episode, what's been really nice about doing this on a regular basis is exploring little bits of London I haven't been to for a while, or at all. As I don't know if it's coming across, having been fighting off or succumbing to the bug that seems to be laying everybody out at the moment. The green chicken pozole, yes. was like Jewish. It was like chicken soup for Jewish chicken soup on dumplings. It was killer.
You look a little better.
I feel better than I did when I arrived.
I had the red pozole. If you don't know what it is, it's, I call it hominy, so like, like this sort of processed puff corn kernels that are delicious. I never realized it was a Mexican thing. Growing up in Georgia in the South, we used to eat hominy grits, and it was one of my favorite meals. And then as an adult, I was in a restaurant in Austin, and people were saying, you should really try the pozole here. And I was like, hey, that's hominy. With a bit more flavor. So it was nice when I found out about this place being here. I got really excited in it.
Yeah. How did I compare?
Expectations. Yeah, yeah. This was very good. Yeah, yeah.
By the way, that was really good. Yeah, and we did a couple of tacos as well, didn't we?
Those were good too. I especially like the birria taco.
Yeah, birria was.
With the consomme.
Yeah.
What was the other? Corn soup, essentially. Yeah. These pozoles with stuff you can add just the right amount of flavor.
But yeah, like kind of sort of.
Kind of wholesome.
Yeah. No, really good.
Yeah.
That was.
I should mention, good for the soul. I got here a little before you did, and just walking around, I happened upon another Mexican place called Mexican Mama, just down at the end of the street. Mm-hmm. It's a little bar, but also a little grocery. I bought myself some tortillas. They had like fresh made tamales. A lot of things I would have bought if I wasn't going to be out all day. At on the other side of town. So, but I'm coming back down here with an empty bag.
Yeah.
To Mexican Mama, may have to detour. Yes,
on the way back.
I'll show it to you. It's cool. It's nice in there.
It's good to. Yeah. It's good to find. I mean, I often get asked for Mexican food is something that I think people expect to find in the UK more than we necessarily have it. But it's interesting to see there is a real little rise of places doing it and doing it properly and doing it from scratch.
This is really good, and the folks seem to be happy with the. Us appreciating the food here. It was really, really good. And I'm glad I could, that we both had heard about this place and were keen and we sort of both realized we wanted to go there. I'm very happy to mention Mexican Mama to you because I've been sort of coasting on some of your recommendations recently. So, big one, restaurant in Reading.
Yeah.
Clay's Kitchen and Bar?
Clay's Kitchen. They were Clay's Hyderabadi, and then became Clay's Kitchen.
And, you had a big shindig there.
Shindig.
And people from London went out of London to Reading for a meal, and it was actually an amazing meal, but I'll let you describe.
I'm sure we've talked about Clay's before. I will happily rabbit on about Clay's to absolutely anyone. A lovely couple, Landana and Sharat. They started this business just before lockdown. Had a little restaurant in Reading. mostly basement dining room, so utterly screwed in terms of ventilated dining and everything. Mandana in particular worked out ways of doing local delivery and then expanding that to national delivery. Started a friend who was doing some PR got it out to me, to Jay Rayner, Tom Parker Bowles. They all wrote about it. I wrote about it. Got sent some of this mail order chicken, mail order Indian food in a big box of chicken biryanis and prawn things and all sorts of stuff, venison boona. And every single thing we tried was about as good as we've had in India. It's some of the best Indian food I've had in the UK, hands down. Jay agreed, Tom agreed, Grace Denner subsequently reviewed it. It is one of those places that they're just doing it absolutely right. Really, really big flavours, fantastic hospitality. So yeah, it's a big landmark anniversary celebration, and yeah, managed to drag 38 other people out of bits of Kent and London and all sorts of places to come out, and to say it was a feast would be understatement.
It was so good. excuse me. I think I remember the chicken was amazing. There's a fish dish. The biryani was amazing too. There are a lot of leftovers, man. I think pretty much everybody there left with ample food and enjoyed their breakfast or lunch or whatever the next day.
I got a few photos the following day of what people have done with leftovers, which is good. So yeah, no, fantastic. No, it's always a pleasure to be able to share that with people. It is an absolute stalwart in my book. Clay's Kitchen. You can order wherever you're listening in the country. They will deliver. Sits very, very nicely in the freezer, defrosts very, very quickly, and is effectively boiled in the bag. But incredible food.
That's so nice. Another place you recommend, I've been to twice since our last episode when you mentioned it, was Ansu.
Oh, man.
I think it's a Taiwanese bakery in Soho. Maybe the most hyped item, maybe understandably, is their curried...
the Wagyu beef.
The Wagyu beef bun, such as the beef donut, but really yummy. I can also attest their... it's like kind of like a fish taco. It's got little bonito flakes on the top of it. But not fish taco, but like a fish hot dog bun thing. Little bonito flakes on top. That's very good. Name is escaping me. They had a black sesame.
The black sesame donut. Bun.
That's really good too.
Super, yeah.
Yeah. Now, and don't let the... if both times I've gone, there's been a huge queue outside. But if you're just there for takeaway, they'll whisk it to the front. The queue is for people wanting to sit there. And honestly... it looks like a tiny, uncomfortable place. You're better off just getting whatever it is to go. That's what I felt, anyway. Yeah. But really nice. Ansu is really, excellent. Really nice.
No, it's decent. It is very, very decent.
Yeah. Anywhere else you've been recently? Can I get some more?
Yeah. The rise of intriguing Chinese restaurants across London has been interesting the last few years. I mean, there has been some speculation. It's just because Chinese students are the only people who can afford to eat out in London at the moment. But the arrival of almost like a second Chinatown in kind of around the city and sort of Commercial Road and Spitalfields and all of that. But going a little further afield into Surrey Quays, a restaurant called Fiery Flavours or Fiery Flavours. There's a guy called Winston Chu who was behind Bar Shu in Soho, which had a fantastic reputation. He's opened a restaurant literally 2 minute walk from Surrey Quays Station. Again, the sounds like it's miles away. Took me less than an hour door to door to get there. The overground, I still can't remember all the different names of the lines, Windrush and Suffragette and all that. But yeah, if you can get out to Surrey Quays, just down the road, Fiery Flavours, Hunan food. So apparently it's a mountainous region. They don't have a lot of fresh produce. So when they do have produce, they do a lot of fresh pickles. So there's a lot of really sort of punchy pickled chilies and pickled mushrooms and all sorts of stuff. If you'll excuse me, I think the cold is coming back.
Oh dear, you're right.
Yes, so where were we before we, so pickles. Yes, lots of pickles. There was a golden broth, the sea bass dish, this golden broth. It's just the most perfect, rich, fatty, acidic, sharp, spicy soup. Much like, that was as life-affirming as what we've just had, actually.
Okay.
Huge value. If you went in a big group and ordered four or five main courses, it's probably going to come out 30, 40 quid a head. Massive portions, delicious food. Really, really well done. Again, Jay Rayner has raved about it towards the end of last year, I believe.
Okay.
But yeah, really exciting, fresh, vibrant, delicious Chinese food tucked in the back of Surrey Quays. So yes, there we go. What have you been up to, mate?
Good. Talking about interesting Chinese cuisine, I had a very nice meal at a restaurant called Nanyang Blossom in Knightsbridge. And despite the fancy-spancy address, it wasn't exorbitantly priced, but I mean, it was a nice place. Mm-hmm. It wasn't cheap, but didn't break the bank. But it was really, really nice. Somewhere I had just happened upon, wanted to try it. You mentioned a lot of Michelin stars last week, I think, or last episode. No Michelin star, but they get a Michelin mention for the first time.
Okay.
Fairly new restaurant, a couple of years old. Highlights included a laksa dumpling soup with lobster and wagyu wontons. That was amazing. So yeah, the laksa soup was amazing. Also, a pomelo salad. Really simple, just, you know, pomelo with some fresh mint, coriander, peanuts, and a really nice oriental dressing, and then sticky soy Iberico pork with sautéed okra. And I wouldn't have thought of putting that together, particularly as sort of a South Asian dish. So Nanyang sort of refers to like South Seas China, so like Taiwan, Malaysia, Southern China, Southern Eastern China, and it was just really good. I think I'd go back there again for a special occasion, or if I just happen to be in the area. Really, really nice. Really enjoyed it.
That sounds excellent.
While you're struggling to breathe, maybe I'll just talk about some other wonderful things I've enjoyed recently. So, I don't know. There's like this huge matcha kick in maybe the world, but definitely in London right now. I don't know if I'm following the trend or just the trend's finally catching up with me.
You're setting the trend.
Well, I'm certainly not setting it, but I'm a big fan of matcha. Tend to make it at home for myself. I really enjoy it. But now there's just some really nice options around town. A bakery, Panadera Bakery. It's a Filipino-style bakery. They've got a location in Soho, which I went to, and also kind of close to Selfridges, just the other side of Oxford Circus.
We keep going. We'll try it again.
Okay, so yeah, Panadera, Soho, another location in Marylebone, but I went to the other one in Soho. Had an amazing, makes sound pretty blasé, but had this amazing Caesar chicken sandwich, and like the bread that's like this, like I call it Texas toast, like a thicker piece of bread that's toasted. All the breads like that, kind of sweet. Really good, but I also had a very nice matcha, a Yubei matcha latte that was iced and just excellent. It was that one sunny day we had last week, and I was out, had a free afternoon floating around. It was great. It was amazing. I really loved it. More matcha I have had lately was at a little cafe. I don't know if it's Hoxton or Haggerston or just sort of the hinterland or the borderland between these two places.
They all roll into one another.
They kind of do. Yeah. But a place called Moco Maid Cafe, it's on Kingsland Road. It's a place I have passed zillions of times without even thinking about it. Somehow I just got on my radar recently, though. Went in there, had this amazing iced matcha float, basically like a matcha milkshake with matcha ice cream, and it was great. Turning heads too when it came out. Like the person sitting next to me is like, oh, and now I have to have that also. And I'm like, okay.
Setting trends.
And,
you're setting
more,
trends.
Yes, a little there more wholesome. I had some very nice miso soup. If I grew up with my grandma making miso soup, it might have tasted like that. I don't know. It was just so nice.
Nice.
And just little simple things like that. A lot of baked goods. Nice, compact, but sort of comfy, homey environment. I will definitely go back there. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And that's one awesome. More matcha place. Yeah. I think it's more a coffee place, but they definitely do up the matcha. And that's Sontag on, is that Kingsway? Just outside of Holborn Station.
Mm-hmm.
I had a sea salt matcha latte there that was kind of like a salty, sweet, kind of vanilla matcha drink that I went back for a few days later. It was just so nice and yummy, and it's such a nice, clean, minimalist space. It felt really good just sitting there, having a moment, pretty chill environment. Great cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just wanted to big up those places. How's your breathing apparatus going?
We'll see how we go. We're there.
All right.
Maybe some matcha. Maybe this is what I need. But the sea salt one sounds really good.
That's
really
good. It might be a good place to record, by the way.
Okay. I need to give matcha a proper go. So I've had a couple of decent experiences, and I've had quite a lot of negative experiences with matcha.
Well, I just
I think that probably reflects more on the place that I went to as opposed to...
Well, I'm going to tell you now, you need to look for ceremonial grade matcha.
Okay.
Otherwise, it can taste like dirt. And yeah, if you're not really into that, you add enough milk and sugar.
I can turn it into an ice cream.
They were great. They were great. Thank you.
Turn it into an ice cream. I'll eat anything.
What else has been going on with you?
So yeah, another restaurant worth flagging up. A little place in St. John's Wood that seemed to have popped up onto a few people's radar of late. It's Cinder.
Okay.
There's one in Belsize Park. Newish one in St. John's Wood. You would walk past, assuming it's maybe, I know, part of a little chain, or just very unassuming, kind of green-fronted, would not have any concept of the utter joys that are going on in that kitchen. As the name suggests, everything's been done over kind of wood fire. Some really clever, creative cooking. Started with a making their own focaccia, and they do a chili plate, so they're kind of grilling all sorts of little chilies.
Okay.
But they're also making their own zug, the green herby spicy thing, and their own harissa. So you get a little plate of their own harissa, the zug, and some really nice kind of smoked grilled chilies. Fantastic start to a meal. But some really clever cooking, some really nice ideas. I might have to take a little break again. Possibly back. Some just really, really good sort of fishy things and meaty things. Very, very decent cheeseburger. Just good. And a slab of salmon. I think cooked on a bit of wood, as is that
I'm
sort
confused.
Of plank salmon thing.
What's that? I'm confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I would not normally order the salmon dish, and this was absolutely fantastic. Really, someone in the kitchen knows what they're doing with smoke and knows what they're doing with things like pickles and stuff as well.
Okay.
Really, really good. Cinder. There's a David Ellis from the Evening Standard kind of flag bit up.
Okay.
I think while reviewing somewhere else that he didn't enjoy and just raved about Cinder instead. And I've seen it kind of pop up online and the usual suspects popping in. Really, really worth a look. I was not expecting to enjoy it as much as I did. So
okay.
What about you, sir? So we were talking earlier, you've done some interesting sounding exhibitions.
Yeah, I've been hitting a few exhibitions. Some very much prepared to go to and wanted to go to. Another one I just sort of happened upon. but I got three I'd love to share with you. One is Arkrom, There's No End to the Nonsense, at David's Runner Gallery in Mayfair, very close to Green Park Station. It's there, very short, had a good long run, but it's only there until March 14th, so you got a little bit more time, assuming we get this out before March 14th.
We'll do our best.
If you don't know Arkrom, kind of an underground comic artist, a lot of like late 60s, early 70s stuff, Keep On Trucking, if you've ever seen that sort of image.
Yeah, that's probably the most famous one.
Likes women with big legs. And likes drawing pictures of women with big legs, and also just has an open expression of his fetish and all the things from his past, and he doesn't shy away from it. He doesn't necessarily judge it or say this is great. He just sort of shows you what's in his mind in an incredible way, and the artwork's amazing. And what's also amazing is he's old, and this stuff's all from past few years. Some nothing, I don't think, aside from just a couple of maybe like landmark pieces. It's mostly stuff from this century.
To be fair, I assume there was a very good documentary about him probably about 10, 15 years at least ago that I saw, and had assumed, clearly wrongly, that that was maybe a posthumous thing, or that given his age at the time of that he possibly wasn't around. So to hear that it's new work is really quite fascinating.
Yeah, it's amazing. He just keeps producing, and very prolific. It's as good and as fresh and provocative and funny as earlier stuff he was doing, but also contemporary, and he's not like stuck in the 70s or the 60s, so that's nice to see. Another one, much younger artist, and this is something I just happened upon, and that is Inherited Beings from a Ghanaian ceramicist, Kobina Adusa, if I'm saying that right. Mm-hmm. And it's at Gallery Fumi Hay Hill in Mayfair.
Yep.
And I just walked by it, and I had to walk in and see it. Huge earthenware ceramics that he's made, some of them well over the size of a person, a lot of them person size, nothing too glazed or painted over, so it's just that sort of pottery kind of reddish color. It's beautiful, resonates warmth. Abstract shapes, sometimes looking like people, sometimes not, weird appendages coming out in random patterns, and just really beautiful. That's on until March 21. I hope I get a chance to just stroll back through there and see it again. It was really, really nice. I'm going to keep this guy on my radar as well. And then one more, ending in April, April 11th, so still some time for this. And this is a photography exhibition, Gordon Parks, We Shall Not Be Moved, at Allison Jack on Cork Street, also in Mayfair. And Gordon Parks was a photographer, worked for Time magazine, did a lot of fashion photography, mostly say maybe late 40s through the 60s, some stuff later, but that's like the bulk of his work. And he, African-American photographer, covered a lot of the segregated South, and did so in a way that just showed a lot of beauty in the Black community. Every single individual you see, there's just so much dignity and warmth enduring stupid shit, you know? And
that was a lot of stupid shit.
The man had a sense of color and light. I usually, as someone who used to work as a photographer, I think even before we started recording, I was talking about a photography project I worked on a long time ago. I tend to find a lot of photography exhibitions boring, or just they don't really draw me in. This did. It was beautiful, touching. You just felt like he found the tenderness in a situation and could sort of make you feel comfortable while also just dissolving into the wall as a photographer should, you know, and not really being there as a subject. But he felt like he could comfort people around him. And then, like, also just like his fashion work, he followed Malcolm X for a while. It's all just so beautifully capturing, and just these like tender moments, everything. I'm recommending it highly. It's beautiful.
This does sound having spent a lot of time in the southern US, I'm very intrigued by this one. I think I will.
And also a lot
I will detour
of,
this week and try and catch
up. Yeah, a lot of shots from Montgomery, Alabama.
Okay.
But not just that. A lot of New York photography, a lot of reportage. That's just incredible street photography. Just check it out. You know, I think you'd like it. In fact,
yeah.
If you're heading that way, let me know if I'm nearby. I'll go
okay,
see
no,
it with
well,
you.
No, yeah. That really has piqued my interest.
Gordon so. Parks. Anything else you want to share?
I've been fairly quiet the last 2-3 weeks since we chatted. I guess, yeah, having a big anniversary celebration somewhere in the middle was part of that. But did finally, if anyone's got access to Disney Plus, there's the exciting news that Zootropolis 2 goes live on it next week. But Predator Badlands. Popped up. It's a very the Predator franchise is something that I think has been really unlikely the way they've extended it.
I don't think I've ever seen a Predator movie other than maybe 4 or 5 minutes scene or something.
Yeah, so I'm from the kind of big 80s actioner of the original one. And
Gary Busey.
Yeah, pursuing Schwarzenegger and whatever through the some South American jungle. To Predator 2 with Danny Glover, where they discover the thing is now hunting in the city. Both two great of their ilk 1980s kind of action movies. And then subsequently, I mean, they went through some really the Alien versus Predator stuff wasn't great, but yeah, the last 2 or 3 years, certainly through Disney Plus or 20th Century Fox, with Prey, that was the virtually silent one. Featuring a young Native American woman fighting a predator, which is stunning, really, really good. And then the latest one, Predator Badlands, which actually focuses on the story of a predator having to kind of impress his clan by going hunting and bringing back a trophy. There's a lot more to it than that. It's really good.
They have like multiple predator things.
There's a kind of an interesting backstory, so it ends up being a kind of a revenge tale. Elle Fanning pops up as a strange kind of research robot that ends up helping the young predator as he's trying to fulfill his mission. But it goes off in some really interesting directions. And the thing I really wasn't expecting, it's sometimes really, really funny. There's some great action sequences,
okay.
But it's genuinely funny. Yeah, and all over in about 100 minutes as well, which we like having, yes, my attention span not being what it was. Yeah, 100-minute movies, hell yes. But yeah, no, yes, popped up on Disney Plus. Not as gory as you think it might be, but I think very, very worth a watch. So
okay.
that's pretty much me, I think.
All right.
Although, the only other thing I've consumed, very briefly, just going to a little nod to our wonderful NHS.
Yes.
Had a little skin checkup recently. Had a biopsy last week, which was done in such a simple, smooth, painless manner. All the staff were absolutely first-rate, friendly. They're much put upon. They're not funded as they should be. But dear Lord, we need them. We need to keep them.
Yeah.
What a wonderful service. So yes. So thank you, NHS. You have been a joy. Made something could have been awkward very, very easy.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Good. Glad you're all right. Cool. Well, aside from the lovely Latin romantic music.
It is quite great. Yeah, we've been having a moment.
what is that other sound I hear?
That sounds a lot like the increasingly aptly named "The Year Was Strange."
Yes,
by Ina.
Okay,
it's our theme. I'm going to rush and say that you can find me on Dinehard Instagram before I start coughing again.
Yeah.
And yourself, please?
Look for us on allconsumedpod.com for the website and Apple Podcasts, and then also at allconsumedpod on Instagram. I think that's it for us right now. And thanks, Neil.
Cheers, mate. Always a pleasure.
All right.